We have had impact in very many ways from the visits that we get from people that are coming in from Alabama. We have received aid in basic medical teams. We have received assistance with water projects, and we have also received assistance with surgeons who come in and do cleft palates and other types of interventions like that, that we have a great big backlog of in our country.
Do you think there are other ways that the people of Honduras could benefit from, say, the specialties and the treatments of missionaries and physicians coming from the United States? Are there better ways for that to happen?
I do find that to the extent that there is local consultation about what the needs are, we are getting a lot of advantages from the visits. When, for example, we look at basic medical missions that come in and look at kids with parasites, well, that doesn't do us much good, because if we don't solve the basic problem, which is the water supply, then that doesn't work. But this has evolved, though that may have occurred initially. Now we find that we have medical teams coming in and doing water projects and doing education and doing other types of interventions that are pretty effective. And when we look at what is being done with cleft palates and things like that, that really generates a big relief from our medical system, because we have an enormous backlog for that type of surgery.
Some people compare such aid as, say, a drop in the bucket. There's the argument that maybe money could be used in a more appropriate manner, given to those who know what the real underlying issues are to help the situation in Honduras. I mean, how do you counter arguments like that?
I use the term Band-Aid medicine. I think it's referring to what you're talking about. And I think the first year we went, that's what we did, is kind of Band-Aid medicine, put Band-Aids on things. But over the years, we've developed relationships there. For example, our teams, we'll have 12 different teams go this year, and about half the people will come out of the greater Birmingham area. And we'll not only do we hold clinics there, but we'll have dental work there. We do preventive dentistry now. We've built a clinic there this year. We have several sewing schools, woodworking schools we've built. We have a soup kitchen for children whose parents died of AIDS. So we've gotten into a lot of different areas of work. And I think now we probably move from what you refer to as a drop-in-the-bucket Band-Aid medicine, which is appropriate, to now kind of relationships. And we have an ongoing, like I'll communicate with my friends and the people we work with down there literally two or three times a week now.
It's got to be somewhat of a challenge for you thinking about treating the Hondurans who have no access to regular health care, and they go back to the villages to dilapidated conditions and to their illnesses that often recur. I mean, how do you break that cycle?
We have set up schools there, and the schools are run not by Americans but by Hondurans. And they are becoming more and more self-sustaining. And so they're actually in the little village. And I tend to look at this at one village at a time, that we're helping the people kind of take themselves and grow themselves. And there's no question in my mind whether that's a benefit.
The medical teams from Alabama are very sensitive to the local needs. There is a lot of communication, and since these are not spot visits but usually continuing missions, we actually get, I would say, very much mileage out of these visits.
What did you expect before you arrived in Honduras?
Well, I have to say that going into it, one of my first questions was, why not here? You know, Alabama is constantly ranked among one of the poorest states in the country. You know, I mean, we've been called a third world country ourselves many times. So one of my first questions is, why is this care not being given back to the people of Alabama when we have, you know, such a high Medicare and Medicaid rates, et cetera? And, but when I got there, I quickly realized the difference between North American poverty and Central American poverty. And it's a vast difference.
So Tom Campbell, I mean, why not Alabama? Why Honduras?
Well, I think that's an interesting question. I get asked that a lot. They're sick people, they're poor people in Alabama. And my response to that, if God has called you to work in Alabama, that's great, and that's where you ought to work. I think God's called me to work in Honduras, and that's where I go.
How do you report the inner workings of the missionaries while at the same time being cognizant of the issue of getting the right medicine to the right people? I mean, the right treatment as well to those who are suffering the most in Honduras.
Well, I mean, I guess as any role of a journalist is just to always listen and keep your eyes open. And so basically we approached it with a very open mind of listening to what everyone said. I think that on the day that I spent the most time with the medical missionaries, I actually just went through the line with several people and went through each process. And then, you know, conversely spent several sessions with other doctors just to see both sides of it, see their frustrations and see the frustrations of the patients and how they work together with it.
Oh, we're grateful for the interest that Birmingham and the people of Alabama have placed on a country like Honduras. Honduras, though we have many things, many challenges before us, we are definitely off to a very important start. We have received debt relief. 60% of our foreign debt has been relieved, and we will be investing somewhere in the neighborhood of $200 million a year for the next 10 years, precisely in areas related to poverty reduction. So a lot of this will go to health. To the extent that we can coordinate our efforts, we are really going to make a big difference for Honduras.